Rituals, don't we love them? We're happy to celebrate great or small occasions with them, and some are full of meaning, others have lost that meaning over time. That's what we always do. There was once a large monastery where the benevolent abbot had a very punctual cat. Every evening at about 5 to 6, just before the evening mass, it would begin to mew for its supper. After a few weeks of this irritating habit, the abbot gave permission for a monk each night to feed the cat. After a few years, the abbot died, and the cat outlived him, and the reign of the next abbot. Eventually, the cat died, and the monks of the monastery, upon realizing that there was no cat to feed, bought another cat. And so every evening, the cat would still be fed, and the mass could then go ahead. Sometimes we carry on doing things for no good reason. Sometimes we need to be reminded by what we do of our past. And that's where we are today with the presentation of Christ in the temple. According to the law of Moses, a week after the birth of a male child, there he is circumcised. And then 33 days later, on the 40th day, he's presented in the temple. And so all this is a reminder, a very important reminder, of God's covenant with Moses. And then later on, for the child there is the bar mitzvah, or the bat mitzvah for a girl, as a personal statement of their own faith. So we have those two aspects of belonging and believing, two very different aspects of faith, which we also, in a sense, hold to in our own way with baptism and confirmation. In the psalm, we talked about those who ascend the hill of the Lord to go to the temple. And this is what Mary and Joseph were doing as they ascended to the temple to bring Jesus before the Lord. And what was required of the law was an offering of a lamb and a pigeon. And if the family were poor, then they would bring two birds. And we read here how Mary and Joseph indeed brought two pigeons as their sacrifice. So that is a reflection that we need to recall of the poverty of Jesus' parents. And this presentation of the firstborn to the Lord, which was originally so that they would then serve as priests, was redeemed back by the parents as an offering, as a monetary offering to bring the child back. And if you think and compare that with the story of Samuel, when Hannah presented him to the temple, of course Samuel stayed in service of God. And as we think about Jesus' birth and being presented in the temple, he was born into a troubled world. His people are oppressed. And like Simeon, many were looking for the coming of the promised Messiah to bring freedom, peace, and justice to the people of Israel. I wonder, what were Simeon's expectations? And if you like, this, we're looking at his expectations and their fulfillment this morning. And as a righteous and devout Jew, he was awaiting the Anointed One, the Messiah in Hebrew, or the Christ in Greek. He was looking, as we read, for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, longing for an end to the suffering of his people. And if we think about the suffering, I'm sure you may be aware that this weekend has been the celebration of the Holocaust Memorial Day. And I was reading an interview with a lady called Margot Friedlander, who went back to Germany, having survived the Holocaust, because she says she came back with a mission to warn the young Germans of today never to repeat the horrors of the past. And that's one of the values of our ritual and memory, is to learn our lessons of the past. As Margot says, we are all the same. There is no Christian or Muslim or Jewish blood. There is only human blood. People have killed millions of innocents because they didn't see their victims as human. And this from a lady who lost her mother, her father, and her brother in the gas camps. Simeon wasn't suffering in that way, but he saw the suffering of the people under the oppression of the Roman occupying people. And he was looking for that freedom that the Lord's Messiah would bring. And Simeon was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And you may know the word we sometimes use for the Holy Spirit as paraclete, as comforter. And that's the word that's used in the text for consolation, paraclesis. So the consolation and comfort that we seek comes from the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And the Holy Spirit, as we read, rested on Simeon. It revealed the promises of God to Simeon. And the Holy Spirit guided Simeon to meet Jesus. And when Simeon saw the Messiah, saw this young babe, 40 days old, he saw not only the glory of Israel, but that he was being revealed to the Gentiles as the Saviour of all people. Jesus was necessarily born as a human. As we read, if you look in the reading from Hebrews chapter 2:17, you will read, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect. So God, in Jesus, became man. He then became our priest and redeemer. And because he is tempted and tested as we are, he is able to help us through his mutual experience. And the final promise to Simeon was that he would depart in peace. And I've taken a number of funerals already this year. And it is a glorious thing when you know the person who's died is a Christian, because you know they have departed in peace to be with their Lord. And of course, it's our prayer for all those who do die, that they are indeed received by God, because we do not know what happens in those last moments of life. And we know that God wants all to come to him. But there has to be that promise of commitment. Now, Simeon, as well as receiving promises, gave a prophecy. He talked about Jesus being for the falling and rising of Israel, which puts one in mind of the stumbling block that we read about frequently in scriptures, about Jesus being a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall, or being a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. So we have to look where we're walking, where Jesus is taking us. Simeon also prophesied that Jesus would always be opposed. And that's because of the challenge that he gives to our own worldly nature, our thoughts and beliefs that says, me first, when in fact God wants his will to be done. The kingdom of this world is in conflict with the kingdom of heaven. And if we are being true to our faith, we will experience that conflict, because we will say and do things that the world doesn't understand. And finally, in his prophecy, he taught of grief piercing like a sword. And of course, Mary experienced that when, through her love for Jesus, she saw him crucified. We also meet Anna this morning with her intervention, her commitment to worship, fasting and praying night and day. She too had a prophetic word about Jesus. She pointed him out as being the one who the Jews were seeking. This is the Redeemer. And that puts me in mind of our reading from Malachi about the refiner and the purifier. And we will be singing about that later during our communion hymn. For the Lord is coming like refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will purify and refine them like gold and silver. Malachi, that first reading, was the last prophet of the Old Testament era. For in those several hundred years between Malachi and the coming of Christ, the Jews had moved so very far from God. There'd been that historic cycle of rebellion and repentance and forgiveness and further rebellion. Wow, that's not so very different from how we live our lives today. And our actions of rebellion are forgiven by God. So we do try to turn back and repent and come alongside him again. They were going through a period of religious malaise. Again, much the same today as it was then. And in Malachi, the prophet asks and begs and pleads that we might once again present offerings of righteousness rather than mere forms of worship. And as we gather today, I pray that our worship truly comes before God as we come together before the Lord's table. And so our response, as I draw us to a close, is for us to accept the promises to Simeon as our own. For we are God's beloved children. God is always with us. Death does not have the final say. And out of the darkest and most painful of circumstances, God will bring healing, light, and new life. And so as we meet with Christ around the communion table, as we share the bread and wine together as a reminder of his sacrifice for us and as a token of his presence with us, I pray that we will see beyond the mechanics of receiving bread and wine. Who is offering you the bread and the wine is not important. What we wear is really not important. What is important is that we come before our living Lord. The Holy Spirit calls us to be lights in our world. He is gentle with us. He knows our limits. He knows what we can and cannot do. And he places us where we can speak out our faith by what we do as much as what we say. He might be laying on your heart a particular suffering or injustice of which you are aware, where you may be the only means of bringing Jesus as light into that darkness. So we need to allow time and space in our lives to listen and watch, just as Simeon did. Did he receive a subtle nudge or a massive dig in the ribs? And I know sometimes I need that to move in the direction God wants me to. So ask to be refined by the Spirit and to rejoice in the presence of God. We say, his Spirit is with us. Let us believe it and know that to be true. Seek to have clean hands and a pure heart as we come before God. And remember, we are his temple. Do you not know, right, Paul, that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? So lift up your heads, that the King of glory shall come in and reside with you. Amen.